We're going to look at something this morning that is very dear to my heart. How many like music? Frankly, growing up, my family was not a musical family. My daddy, he didn't sing bass, and we kids joined right in there. My only connection with music in those days was Lawrence Welk. And so that was a religious thing on Saturday night to watch Lawrence Welk. There were other shows that Mom and Dad would watch that, what would you call those? Variety shows, so there'd be singing and so forth and that. But it meant very little to me, even as a teenager, coming out of a rock and roll era. To me, it hurt my ears. I didn't like the junk. And I still don't. kind of helpful, amen? But music, it's a marvelous tool. I've read a number of things about music and the effects it has upon us. And it's amazing. You know, good music, we talk about music, and we're talking about good music. Music, maybe we could call it soft. Is very, very helpful to the inner being of a person. It actually releases that feel-good stuff. I think they call them endorphins. And it's helpful for your entire being. The problem is most people in music, they're listening to some stuff that, yuck. You go into a store. We were at a restaurant or something. I thought, they call that music? Sounded like noise to me. But there is a tremendous connection that's spiritual, I believe, with music. Like before you turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And if you drop down to verse number 14 with me, chapter 16, verse number 14, and notice what it says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man, who is cunning, a cunning player on the harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. I want you to notice the instrument that they picked out to do that, the harp. Do you realize we have two harps in our auditorium? One's electronic, but, well, they both are nowadays, I can get that straight. But a piano is actually a harp that you got keys that pound on it. Isn't that interesting? And so you have this marvelous instrument. If you can find a good harpist, you'll come across somebody that can really be soothing and marvelous to your soul. And so that's what they were looking for. And it says, and Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Verse 18, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, and prudent in manners, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass when an evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp, played with his hands, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been in a really bad mood? Have you ever been in a really bad mood? I hope nobody's there right now. Yeah. And you heard a song, and it changed your whole being. Yeah, that happened? That's what we're talking about here. And it has a powerful effect upon people. After losing the Spirit of God because of his disobedience, because he had disobeyed God with the Amalekites, God brought an evil spirit upon him. And with that, we find that Saul sins and gets a musician to soothe his spirit. So we stop and we think about music. And we think about what it can do to our hearts and our lives. And first of all, I'd like for us to think about this. Music plays a major part in the worship of God. Plays a major part in the worship of God. If you were to go to 2 Chronicles that I have written here, verse 27, 28, we find it's used during the offering of sacrifices. It says, "And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished." And so we find as this offering is given, they are doing what? They're making melody. We find there's instruments involved. We find that there are singers involved. And I would say no doubt those who are watching and standing by, if they knew the words and heard the music, they're at least singing it very low, if not very loudly. And it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time that is bringing praise unto God. We look at the book of Psalms, and we find David, of course, writing many of those psalms. And they are songs that David wrote to honor God. Some of them are a little different than others. Some of them are very forthright in their worship. Others are dealing with some historical things, and yet at the same time showing how God worked through that, bringing him honor through song. We find in 1 Chronicles chapter 25 that these instruments and these singers were appointed by David. Matter of fact, we find that he even had an instructor that was provided for these people. In 1 Chronicles 15:22, it says, "And Shenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. He instructed about the song because he was skillful." So what are we looking at? We're finding music that's being used by these who are worshiping God. We find that it was something that they probably practiced because there is a teacher involved. It is something they put a great deal of their hearts and lives into that they might bring honor to God. And they could worship God through song. Marvelous as it is. We find Nehemiah had a choir director. In chapter 12 and verse 42 of Nehemiah says, "And Messiah and Shemaiah and Eleazar and Uzai and Jehohanan and I don't know if I can spell this one or I got to spell it, Malchijah and Elam and Ezer. And the singers sang loud with Jezariah, their overseer." They sang loud, and we find that they had an overseer. They had a choir director. Is music important in worship? It seems to be in the Old Testament, does it not? Matter of fact, we find in the future in the new temple, this is interesting, But there are to be quarters reserved in the New Testament, or in the New Temple, excuse me, for the musicians. In Ezekiel chapter 40, it says in verse number 44, "And without the lower, without the inner gate were the chambers of the singers in the inner court, which was at the side of the north gate, and their prospect was toward the south." So they're on the north gate, they're looking toward the south. And then it says, "And at the side of the east gate, having the prospect toward the north." Interesting. One's looking one way, one's looking the other direction. And what do we find here? We find that they were both for a place for the musicians to live, basically. If they were coming from their quarters, think about it for a moment. If they were coming from their quarters, it would be in stereo. Surround sound. Because they're coming from at least two different sides as they're singing. I had the privilege a number of years ago, I went up to a conference in Wisconsin, Falls Baptist Church. The pastor there, his daughter, is a tremendous violinist. And she has taught violin. They have a Christian school. They have a college as well, a small college. And, of course, there's the people there. They have three choirs of instruments. I guess you wouldn't call them choirs, would you? And orchestras, basically. And so there's an orchestra out of the Christian school. There's an orchestra out of the college. And then the church has an orchestra. And within that orchestra, there was over 100 people playing the violin. So I'm sitting in the auditorium, and you got, I don't know, 20 or 25 up on the platform, and they're spread out all the way across the platform. And there's four aisles in that church. It's a large church. And that church, it all kind of goes from, you know, how they fan out, and the pulpit in that area is in a corner more like, and a square type building. And so there's these four aisles. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye, there was people starting to come down those aisles. And every one of them had a violin. I thought, wow. I saw little kids had very tiny violins. I saw, of course, older folks with a full-grown model. And they were all playing. I'll tell you what, I had never in my life heard anything like that. If that didn't raise your spirits, you're dead. And it was exciting as I heard those violins all at one time and playing. And I think about that when I think about this, as these singers would begin to sing, and evidently from several different routes, as they would be in that, as it will be in the new temple, in the new Jerusalem. We find from the Word of God that God used David to write many songs that we call Psalms. And also, did you know that God used David to make many instruments? In 1 Chronicles 23, it says, "Moreover, 4,000 were porters." By the way, a porter, if you discover that, they were guards. They had a protection committee, all right? So there was 4,000 porters. 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. Can you imagine 4,000 instruments being played at once? Wow. Was songs and music important back there? I think so. We find Solomon carried on that tradition. It says in 1 Kings 10, verse 12, "And the king made of the almond trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such among trees nor were seen unto this day." And so we see a tremendous connection with music with the saints of the Old Testament times. But I want us to notice something else that took place back in that day. We need to always remember that Satan is a great imitator of God. Is that not true? He's a tremendous imitator of God. And we find that Satan used music as he dealt with the children of Israel to rebel against God. Listen to these words in Exodus. What had happened in Exodus? They had left out of Egypt. They were out in the wilderness. And we find that some of them got discouraged. Notice what happens. And he said, "It's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." This is Moses as he's on the mount, and he says, "I'm hearing singing." And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. Do you think Satan was able to use music to, I don't want to use the word inspire, I can't think of another word at the moment, but inspire wickedness in these people? Music can have a tremendous effect. We can worship our God, but we find that Satan has an ability to use it to his benefit. Why don't you turn the book of Ezekiel with me? Ezekiel chapter 28. If you've never seen this, I'd like for you to see it. Ezekiel chapter number 28. How many of you got pages like mine you don't want to turn? Chapter 28, and I'm going to go to verse number 11. Verse number 11. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," so who's talking? The Lord, okay. And he says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Now let me ask you something. I know it's called the king of Cyrus, but there's a reason for that. Who is this talking about from the few words we said? Who's he talking about? Where had he been? He'd been in the Garden of Eden. How many people do you remember in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve, and there was Satan, and of course God. And so he says, take up a lamentation, and he speaks to the king of Tyrus. And he speaks of him because he was a very ungodly, wicked king. And he says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering." Notice how he's clothed. And it says, "The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold." Can you imagine the clothing that was on him? Would that be beautiful? Who's the light of the world? Jesus. Now I want you to think about something for a moment, and I want you to see where he was at, and what this clothing would have done. Now notice here, it goes on and says, "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was repaired in thee in the day that thou was created." Tabrets and pipes, that's speaking of musical instruments. Think of a pipe organ. And so what is this person we call the devil, who is in one place called an angel of light? What is he? He is one that has a beautiful attire. And at the same time, he's a living musical instrument. Think about that. It says, was prepared in thee. Now notice here, this is why I think this is important. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. When you study the cherubim that are about the throne of God, how many are there? I heard somebody say it. No, double it. Four. Okay, there's four of them. But here's the fifth one. And he was the covering cherubim. There was one on each side of God, but here was the covering one. If he's the light, and he's got all this beauty about him, what's it doing? It's radiating the beauty of God. That was his purpose. And I noticed something else then. He was a musical instrument. Is music important to God? Yes. What does this teach us about him? It teaches us that he is able to make music that would worship other gods. When he rebelled against God, he no longer used what he had for the glory of God, but he used it what? To try to defeat God. And so music can be made for the worship of God, but it also can be made for the worship of other gods. Any music that doesn't honor God in its words, in its temple, and its melody is designed for the mind to be altered from God. Now let me ask you, some of the things that you hear on radio, do they help you in your walk with God? When you walk in the grocery store, does that music help you with your walk with God? It's not designed to. Matter of fact, that music's designed to make you want to buy things. Do you ever wonder why they put a deli right at the entrance of a grocery store? It isn't so they can make money on the deli. It's to make you hungry so you'll buy lots of stuff in the store. Interesting. I can't remember the name of it. It was one of those Cinnabon-type companies. They used to, in the big malls, they paid an extra price to have the aroma from their ovens piped throughout the entire mall. Huh? That's off the base, but that was just free. But music that doesn't honor God, who's it honoring? Now, there's some music that just feel good music, but there's a whole lot of music that's going to take you completely in the wrong direction. I mean, listen, pop music, country music. You think about country songs, and what are they about most of the time? Some guy lost his wife. You know, hard rock, doo-wop, swing, the blues, jazz. And I mean, the types of venues can go on and on. And many times, we as God's people, we want to combine any of these with Christian lyrics. But is that honoring to God? Now think about it for a second. If it affects the body, it's of the flesh. If it affects the spirit, it must be of the spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong with the temple that maybe makes your foot go up and down, but if you're wanting to dance too awful much and it becomes so great a thing in your body, it might be fleshly. I mean, if you ever watch TV and some of these so-called Christian shows that are on, I mean, the people, oh my goodness. Now, I have no problem with people putting their hands up. I have no problem with people excited in the Lord. But a question does need to be asked. Is it of the spirit or is it of the flesh? I will go a little bit farther. And this is what concerns me the most in many Baptist church. Christians that do not or will not sing to the glory of God miss the real worship experience it's divine for. I can sit in that chair during a song service and see certain people, they just sat there. Do you know what I know will take place during the message? Nothing. Nothing. It will not touch them. They've zoned themselves out. They've not allowed God to do that which music can help us with in our lives. And they do not and will not sing for the glory of God. Listen, you're missing something. If you're one of those persons, you're missing something. Because we can sing to the glory of God. Listen, think about it for a moment. But music is that which we're going to know throughout all of eternity. When you go to the book of Revelation, there's a few places I'll read these. In chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What did they do? They sang a new song. Did you notice it also said every one of them had harps? Music is a part of that which we find in that day. You go a little farther in the book of Revelation, chapter 14. It says, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. That was some prophetic thoughts there. But what were they doing? They were singing to God. You go to the next chapter, it says, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. They're singing. They're singing. How can you tell when a child's happy? They're singing. Hey, listen, you are Christians and you taught your children right. Have you ever heard them making up Christian songs? I mean, it is a delight. It's just coming out of their heart. Is God glorified by that? I don't know what else you could say. And so you and I have this marvelous privilege, I believe, throughout eternity. And I've said to folks in the past, you know, if you don't like singing now, you're going to be mighty bored in heaven. I don't know what you're going to be doing. But your heart's going to rejoice when you see the Lord, and that is going to come forth from you. Listen, it's interesting. It talks about our glory. And when it speaks of our glory, it's talking about our tongue, what it says. And is our tongue or our glory giving God glory? In that case, its glory means honor. In Psalm 30, verse 2, it says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Singing that goes on and on and on. In chapter 108 of the book of Psalms, it says, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Chapter 138, verse 5 says, yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And then chapter 149, verse 5 says, let saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. That's interesting. What's God want out of us? I think God wants praise. And one of the chief ways we can do that is through music. It's glorious. Let me tell you this. If you would sing to your best, if everybody in this room would do that, when the song leader's here and the pianist begins to play, you'll be amazed at what it does to your spirit. And what it does, I believe, to the glory of God. Can you imagine a lost person that comes in this place and they hear people singing like that? They're probably going to believe you mean it. They're going to probably believe there's something here that's different than other places. There's folks who believe what they're saying and what they're singing. And that's the way we ought to sing. Some of you say, well, I don't have a very good voice. Well, listen, you get your bad voice, the one next to your bad voice, they're sharp and you're flat, guess what? You got it right. Don't worry about it. Huh? Don't worry about it. Just let her fly. It's marvelous to sing. I love listening to my wife sing. One of my favorite times is when she's going to sing a special. And I'll be in the other room and she'll be in the bathroom practicing. She's taking a shower, a bath, and I hear her in there. I haven't told that on you, have I? But I love to hear that time. I love to see people who are excited about music. And I look at Chris, and she's always, I mean, music is her life. If you somehow get a hold of her phone, you'd probably find about 600 songs that are on her phone that she listens to. Am I underestimating? All right, and it just, it's a marvelous thing. Amen. And allow music to come forward. By the way, it's a sign of the Spirit of God filling you. Because it talks about you and I giving thanks in songs and spiritual songs. Yeah. And let it rip. Amen. Don't hold back. Give God the glory. So my voice is weak. We'll give you a microphone. Well, not everybody in this room. But anyway, it might be too much for us. I don't have a great voice, but I love to sing. And the one thing I can look at now, I regret some. Not a whole lot, but I regret some. My mother wanted me to play the clarinet. I was actually pretty good at it for my age. And the only thing I hated about was blowing into that thing. It hurt up here. And I hated that thing otherwise. But I wish I'd have kept up on that. If she'd have had me play an instrument I didn't have to blow on, it would have been a little different maybe. Oh, should have taught me the piano. But we couldn't carry one of those around. Anyways, I hope it'll be a great blessing to you as you go forth. Allow music to be a part. Amen? And I'm talking about good music here. I'm talking about that which honors God, that which glorifies Him. That other stuff, if you've got it, get rid of it. There's too much good stuff. Amen?